All right, so we were discussing from last week the question of costs. All right, so the question was, the obvious questions on the Rambam from Perek Aleph to Perek Beis and within Perek Beis, that in Perek Aleph he treats costs like any other midah, right, and says the middle is the right path. And in Shemona Prakam also he says every midah, the middle is always the right path, and the extremes are rab behechlet. And then Aleph he explained, and we elaborated on it from the Shemona Prakam, from the Hakdama, that because of the danger of slipping into one of the two edges, the Hasidim would do lefnim mishur sadin, and they would go to one a little bit to one side. Right. And then he says in Shmarim Prakim explains which midos you have to go to which side on. All right. And he says, and all of this is the mitzvah of to go in the Beinonis. And Derech Beinonim is Malachta Bedrachav. But then in Beis, he's discussing the way to heal the sickness. So again, he has Kas, right? And again, he gives an example of trying to get yourself back somewhat, getting yourself back to a middle ground. Right. Does he have that over here? Does he have his cast over here? Yeah, Baal Chema, right? Me, right, it has in base. So anyway, but then in Gimel he says, Yesh Deos She'osulo Dolvenog Bohen Bebeinus Elias Rachik Arakotza Acher. You have to go to the all the way to the other extreme. And the two are Gova Levin Kas. Yeah. It's interesting. What's his raya by Gova Lev? He says, She'ein Derech Hatov She'i Odom Onov Bilvad El She'i Eshofol Ruach V'tiyah Rucho Namucha L'maod. Lefikach nemar b'Moshe Rabbeinu onov me'od, v'lo nemar onov belvad. It's a difficult raya, right? Because it doesn't call him a shuffle ruach. It calls him an onov me'od. Right? He wants to bring a raya from that. What does it mean, onov me'od? Right? So he wants to say onov me'od means that he wasn't just in the middle. Not just an onov. Right? And it says all the terrible things about a Balgaiva. And then he goes through all the terrible things about a Balgaiva. Yes, what does it mean, Anav Me'od? I mean, why is it called Meshafal Ruach? That's what the Mishnah says in Avos, right? It should be a Me'od, Habi Shafal Ruach. And he's saying it's the same little kind of an idea, but it just calls him an Anav Me'od. Since we're doing the Ramban and on the Chumash, he attributes Moshe Rabbeinu's reluctance to take the shlichus to as anivas. And he couldn't envision himself. So because of his great anivas, he couldn't envision himself as the person to go and face Paro and lead the Jews. He just didn't feel like that was his. He doesn't elaborate it. I don't want to put words into his mouth, but he attributes that to his anivas. But anyway, so what do you say? What do you say to this question?
Well, I mean, if it was just a midah beinonis, would it make sense to say ma'od?
No, it wouldn't make sense. Right, so that's what he's saying. He's saying, you see, from ma'od, there's not just beinonis. But why is it called an unav ma'od? Why isn't it called them like the Mishnah seems to say? It should be a I mean, why doesn't he use the term for the other extreme? He's saying that he's practicing this idea of being very far to the other extreme. Ma'od ma'od havi shofar ruach. Right.
Who's question on?
Questions on the Rambam's Raya from Moshe was on of Ma'od. You want to say on of Ma'od is this idea that certain midos he shouldn't be in the middle on. He should go all the way to the other, to one extreme. Because you see, it says Moshe was an on of Ma'od. Doesn't mean he was very in the middle. It means he was off to the side of to an extreme. Right? Am I reading that right?
Just in terms of an expression. So what's the seems to be a negative expression.
So the question is, why does he give that expression of on of, why does he give the expression of the other end of a shafal ruach? Like the Mishnah in Avos says, Ma'od Ma'od Havi Shafal Ruach. And the Ram says that in Avos, the Ram says that means you should go all the way to in Anivas, you shouldn't just try to be in the middle. Yeah, go ahead. You're saying something good. Go ahead. Okay?
Describing that state, but in more of a, I guess, a proactive, positive light, as opposed to linguistically, shofar ruach seems to be like, you know, someone who's in an oppressed state could be shofar ruach also. It's not a.
Okay. Now, I was saying that by saying anav me'od, it's describing that there's an idea of anivus as the reality. And the ma'od, he's saying, is to be a gedder for that. If you say shafal ruach, that would just seem to be his personality. He was just a low trait. But you're saying onav ma'od implies that anivus is really the idea, and the ma'od is in reference to like a gedder to the. It's like in service of the anivus. To is that what you're trying to say? No, if it's a shofar ruach, that would mean.
It's a qualifier, but your question is, what's the difference really between anivus and shofar? Why not? I thought what you were asking is, why does it say anav as opposed to shofar ruach?
Right. No, why does it say anav me'od? That's his raya. He says, "V'yesh deyosh oslo l'odam lino ben b'beinanis el yisrachik ad ha'kotzeh achev hu gova leiv she'in haderach hatov v'shi odam onav bilvad el she'yiyye shofal ruach v'tiyye rucho namucha l'me'od u'lefikach ne'mer v'mosh v'beinu onav me'od v'lo ne'mer onav." That's right. V'lo ne'mer onav bilvad.
You can't say it's bad. You can't say it's
bad. Right? Right. So it's a problem, right? So that's what, but I think Guy is trying to give the answer over here. give him that much credit, right? No, he's saying that that it wants to still the shofar ruach is only because anivus is really the right thing, but it's bad to is it like the Ram explains more in Shmona Prakim, the other side of anivus is so dangerous you have to guard it by going to the other end. But onav me'od is implying that it's beyond anivus because of anivus. You understand? It's onav. He was an onav to the greatest degree, meaning he cared about the idea of anivus so much. He was so involved in making sure that he's an onav to the greatest degree. Because even the no, it's not abandoning, but it's not take. But shofar ruach as an ideal is not true. Now, I mean, still the Rambam never deviates from the idea that the Beinoni is the ideal, and he's just explaining that there are some midos that are so dangerous, right, that you have to take an extreme level of siag in that midah.
Where does he
express
it as a siag?
He expresses it over here. Kvar Biyar says it in Perek over here in Avos. He says, Kvar yuskarnu b'prokim shekodnu sha'anova hi min amidos ha'na'alos. We already explained that anava is a lofty mida. V'hi mimutzaas bein hagayva v'shaflus haruach. It's in the middle.
It is
in the middle. And we're having a communication problem here, I see. Okay, let's try again. V'shem midazu b'ivris anava. Oval hagayva yeshlo shemos rabim. Okay, so the right thing, anava, has only one name in Hebrew. But off to the right, gaiva has a lot of names. Now, well, he says like this. All right, he goes through names. Now he goes like this. Ukenegda b'ktzei asheni shaflis haruach. Ukvar bi'anu b'perak harvi. Sheroi l'odam lintos le'echad mishneya kitzvos al derech hasiag. And you hear last week, right? So he says in Perek Revi, as we were reading last week, that it's roy in some midos to go one way because of a guard, to be a fence. Shai, I don't know if you were here last week. Okay. Well, that's the midos chasidus, correct. Kidei sheyimotze tomid b'derech hamimutzas. Zulasi b'mida zul bilvad mikol shahar midos klomar hagayva. Okay, this is the exception. It's the exception. The fee, why she machmas chomer migras amida zu etzel hachachomim ubiyodom es nizko hirchiku mimena ad kehaktzei ha'acharon v'notu el shaflus haruach legamri kidei shelo yashiru banefesh roshem legayva klal b'shum ponim. Right? That because of the extreme deficiency of this mida, meaning of gaiva, because of the greatness of its detriment and its damage, they distance themselves to the furthest degree possible in order not to have any roshem of gaiva, any imprint of gaiva. Now, as the other midos, they would just be on guard to be a little bit to the right or to the left. Right? But in this mida, because of the danger of slipping to the gaiva, or because of the danger of any little mixture of gaiva, they went all the way to the shaflus haruach. But it still is only running away from the gaiva. It's not as an ideal per se. Okay, so that I thought that's what we're trying to use as the answer. That's why the expression of onav me'od is telling you onav is still the ideal. The ma'od is expressing how far he is relating to the anivus. As opposed to saying shofal ruach, which would change the ideal. Why do I have blank stares?
So anav is in the middle, right? It's still back, but anav is in the middle.
Right.
So just talking about modus is dedication towards the middle.
That's right. But that's the paradox. How is he dedicated to the middle? By going all the way over. Because the middle does not mean the middle. The middle means, okay, this is good. This is sort of like begging the question of what do we mean by the middle and the right and the left. Right? All of these things. but the point is, he's saying like this, saying lemaisa, he had to go all the way over.
To shuffle ruach.
Or at least that was right. In order to be to ensure that he doesn't, let's put it this way, that he doesn't have anything to the right of anivus. In my figurative expression, I'm putting gaiva on the right. No political affiliations, right? Huh? You hear what I'm saying, though? What do you say, Yaakov?
Yeah.
Basic, right?
Saying that anivus you're saying Adam Gold, meaning it's not that he was naturally a Shabbat Ruach. He took a nivus.
Right, exactly.
It just seems that makes sense in the chat.
Good. Okay, good.
No, I don't know why.
Rabbi?
Yes, David.
Rabbi?
Yeah.
What would Shabbat Ruach, you know, as the end itself mean?
That would be Rab Behechlet. I mean, that's part of what we have to understand here. But the Rambam is saying, he's laying that down as a principle. Extremes themselves as extremes are not perfections in themselves.
That's
the extreme.
What I was trying to say before, that Shafir's Ruach.
That's what I thought you were saying, right.
Shafir's Ruach is like, could be a depressed person, doesn't have the ideal, the positive ideal of an evil.
Right.
So that's
correct. Correct. But that's what you want to say by Anav Me'od. It's an interesting pshat. Anav Me'od. Meaning, right, not a, meaning the ideal of Anivas, he carried it to the furthest degree of being completely devoid of Gaiva. What's the exact Lashon? I think it has it in two places. I think it says it. Okay, so in other words, but so by Gaiva, in other words, the Rambam, you have a key from. I don't think he has it in. I didn't notice in Avos the same discussion about Kas, because he's going on the mission over there of Shalruch. But it would seem that he only mentions Gaiva over here on this Mishnah. That's the subject matter of this Mishnah.
Which Mishnah is that?
That's Dalad.
And then he refers back to.
And in this thing, he says Kvar Biyam, his kind of prakim shekodnu, he means the Hakdamos, right? He means the fourth parak of the Hakdama. Yeah. Okay. Anyway, so the question is: it would seem that we should try to apply the same. It would seem that you have to apply the same ideal to Kas, right? Because over here in Deos, he adds v'chein hakas. Deya rohi adla ma'od. Roi l'odam shi'srachik mimena ara k'tzei ha'acher. V'ilamid atzmo shlo yichos avafilu al davar sheroi lichos olav. Yeah. So you would say the same thing over here, that ka'as is also not really should be in the middle. But also there are many chazal who discuss how terrible ka'as is. So you should not be what? You should be on guard. You should be on guard for it. So you should go all the way to the other side.
That's still together?
But it would seem if you want to be consistent, and use his approach that he explains in by Anivas, it would seem you should say it's the same kind of a thing. The only thing is, it's funny, right? Because when you see in the Mora, where he discusses the Yud Gimel Midos, so he talks about the way the perfect man leads, right? See in the Mora in the first book. Chapter 54, where he goes through the Yud Gimel Midos. So he says, he's talking about God is therefore called because of these acts. He says like this. His actions towards mankind include great calamities which overtake individuals and bring death to them, or affect whole families and even entire regions. Spread death, destroy generation after generation, and spare nothing whatsoever. Hence there occur inundations, earthquakes, destructive storms, expeditions of one nation against the other for the sake of destroying it with the sword and blotting out its memory, and many other evils of the same kind. Whenever such evils are caused by us to any person, they originate in great anger, violent jealousy, or a desire for revenge. So an average... Normally, when something like that happens, a nation wipes out another nation, or utter destruction is wrought by man. It comes from anger or jealousy or desire for revenge. God is therefore called, because of these acts, jealous, revengeful, wrathful, and keeping anger. That is to say, he performs acts similar to those which, when performed by us, originate in certain psychical dispositions, in jealousy, desire for retaliation, revenge, or anger. So we call God jealous, revengeful, or wrathful because there are Maisei Hashem that we would say, if a person were doing that, would stem from great anger. Right? So the Maisa, that Maisa transposed to a human actor, we would call coming from anger. They are in accordance with the guilt of those who are to be punished and not the result of any emotion, for he is above all defect. The same is the case with all divine acts. Though resembling those acts which emanate from our passions and psychical dispositions, they are not due to anything superadded to his essence. Now he's like this. The governor of a country, if he is a prophet, should conform to these attributes. Right? So he's saying a person who's a leader really should follow this derech of halacha b'drach of derech Hashem. I think Kapach changed that. I don't think he had prophet of that. If I remember from last time we were doing it. Yeah. Acts of punishment must be performed by him moderately and in accordance with justice, not merely as an outlet of his passion. He must not let loose his anger nor allow his passion to overcome him. For all passions are bad, and they must be guarded against as far as it lies in man's power. At times and towards some people he must be merciful and gracious, not only from motives of mercy and compassion, but according to their merits. At other times, and towards other persons, he must evince anger, revenge, and wrath in proportion to their guilt, but not from motives of passion. He doesn't really feel. Here he's taking away all the feelings of all the feelings from the person, saying he must be able to condemn a man to death by fire without anger, passion, or loathing against them, and must exclusively be guided by what he perceives of the guilt of the person and by a sense of the great benefit which a large number will derive from such a sentence. Right? So over here, where he's describing the perfect manhig, it seems like there's no room at all for anger. Right? It's just to do the rational thing. So here, and this sounds like is the real ideal. Right, so what happened to the ideal of being in the middle? What happened to the anger? Right, this guy is not doing this as a siag. Right, this is the real perfect way to go.
Well, the middle that he said by anger is the practical.
Right.
It's different by a leader of people.
All right, so let's try to discuss what we mean in general by these midos and the extremes being evil. And the Rambam says that clearly. What do we mean by saying there are these midos and the extremes are bad and the middle is good? What do we mean by that? What do we mean by that? So let's take anger. So let's just recount how he described anger. So he says one guy is noach lichos, right? One guy is very prone to anger, easily agitated. And the other one is kemes she'eno margish. Right? So you shouldn't be like either one. You should be a benoni. So what does he mean over here? What's he describing over here? What's he describing when we're discussing these deos? Why is he saying that the extremes are bad and the middle is good? The extremes are bad and the middle is good. You should not pursue, sounds like over here, you should not pursue just the extreme. That's not an ideal. Right? See, I think he's talking about the dea itself. Talking about the dea itself, in terms of the norm for a person, for a human being. Okay. He describes like chuli haguf and chuli hanefesh. Now he's taking man as a creature, right? And he's saying that there are certain dispositions that are in line, that are considered to be healthy for man, and certain things and certain dispositions that are considered to be ill for man. Right? But the point over here is like this. The point I'm trying to make over here is like this. This is not based on, these are not based on philosophical concepts. These are not philosophical ideas. These deos. These are just dispositions. Okay? So what does it mean that the edges are bad and the middle is good? What does that mean universally speaking? And what are all of these dispositions? What are all of these dispositions? What role do they play in the life of a normal man? What's their place? Yeah.
It seems like there's certain condition for a mind to like operate in its ideal way. And
a mind? What do you mean by a mind?
Like a person, like the ability to think.
Okay.
And what the extremes do is that they like take away that ability, and it's almost, it sounds like he's saying that this is just, he's giving you like a plan for the best conditions for a mind to be in.
I don't know what you mean by that, by a mind to be in, to think. What do you mean? Let me just tell you the point I'm trying to make. What the Ram is saying when he talks about deos and going and being in the middle and not being in any extreme, what he means is like this. He means that man, the average man as a being, has an emotional component, right? And that has a lot of force in his activity. It's a great source of his drive and his activity and his action. In Shmona Prakim, he talks more about that. Now when he talks, let's take anger. Let's take the spectrum of anger. So when he says that a guy should not be like a mace, Shaino Margish, see, it's interesting. In Shmona Prakim, the Rambam also mentions that sometimes people have a deficiency in their midos and they attribute it and they call it a perfection. Did I mention that last time? Like, sometimes a guy will be extremely lazy. Let's say that's his disposition. Extremely lazy. Won't do a thing. Right? Knassos are heaping up on nothing. Nothing moves the guy. Right? And what do people say? Wow, that guy's a Sameach B'chalko. He's such a Sameach B'chalko, he won't even change his state. Right? So he says you have to be careful for imperfections that are masquerading as perfection. But what's the point? The point is like this. That for on a certain level of Adam, Adam is motivated and moved and guided by these dispositions. Okay? And the edges, the extremes, okay, the extremes represent where the disposition has gone to a great degree that it becomes that it has a distortion in the way in the working of man. Let me put you in a simple way. Let's take the anger again. If a guy is like a mace, she'eno margish, he's saying that's not a perfection. That means that's some sort of a deficiency. The average person, if something is important to him and it gets destroyed or distorted or is in danger of being lost, the normal person would have a reaction to that. In other words, in the realm of Adam, there is a certain coexistence between the seichel and the deos. And if a person really the middle represents a certain area that he's not drawn, he doesn't have an emotional tie, an emotional excess to one way or the other, but the energy of that dea still exists and is free to be utilized in the proper way. In other words, if a guy is like a mace chaino margish, it just means he's an odd person. He's lacking the capacity to feel and respond to a situation. And so when you talk about the edges, we're talking about it not from a philosophical point of view. We're talking about it from a capacity point of view. You know what I mean? The realm of kas is a certain area where we say the average person, if we describe kas as a general idea, it means to say there's a certain component in man that has a severe reaction towards, in response to what he deems to be important being destroyed. I mean, whatever you want to call it. You understand? It brings together an idea of what is important, right? Without having something important, you're not going to get angry, and the reaction to in response to that being harmed. Okay, so he's saying in that idea of the kas, you shouldn't be that emotion. In that emotion, in that capacity, in that element of man that's a part of Adam, in that element, as an element per se, it shouldn't be. To be in either extreme is ra, because it means that there's either that element is excessive and is you're overly reactive to things that are not really that important, right? And you're going to be drawn away and engaged when, in reality, the thing doesn't warrant it. But the other extreme means nothing is important to you and you have no reaction to anything. You're like a mace. The mimutsa'as means that when that reaction, that capacity is neither overactive nor absent, but it's available. You understand? Now, according to what is done, now that is good. To have the availability of the midah, but not to allow it to be in control and define the reality, that's the tov. Now, if a person has that disposition, he can, with the gaining of his knowledge and now he's free to operate with these midos. You understand? He's free to utilize them and control them. If a person was just like a mace sheino margish, then he wouldn't, the average person, it means he would have no source for any action, even when it was necessary. He's not talking about a guy who's like the manik, who's a tremendous chacham, and is motivated purely by the chachma of the thing. He's talking about an Adam given man as a person, given man as a creature that has psychic energy that is divided into these deos, that is divvied up in among these deos, and have to be utilized for his normal behavior. In those things, he's saying it's ra to be in the, under the sway of the emotion, but it's also bad to not have the capacity to utilize that emotion. You understand? You should be in the middle. The middle means where the energy is there, the force is there, but not as a, and not, but doesn't have a character in you, but doesn't create its own character in your soul. You understand? Doesn't create its own character of an angry person. It means you're a person who has the capacity to react, that you're sensitive and you have the capacity to react to what your mind tells you is a true situation. You understand? Then it's free for the mind to be able to, like Plato says, the mind should be able to be a general for the troops. You know what I mean? The midos are like the forces. But if they're too strong, or they're absent, they're not of use. You understand? But it's a mistake to think that if they're in control, it's bad, therefore you have to get rid of them. That's not right. Because they do serve some sort of a function in the normal person. They do still serve a function. Yeah, Danny?
What do you mean by utilizing the emotion? Isn't it just like an action? Like when you're in the middle, just to do something like that, what does it mean to use the emotion?
So it means to say, let's say for a certain normal person, let's say you had to destroy a person and his wife and his children. You had to really destroy everything, right? So it might require a certain emotional push to enable you to do that. You know what I mean? Or to give away, there's a certain amount of psychic energy that a person, there's a point like this, a person as a person still lives within the realm of his energies. He's not talking about a person who can exceed. When we say that it's, there are deos of a person, that people have deos, and there's the Benoni, the Benoni means to say that we can't just make man can't exist without the Deus. You understand? That's the point that I'm trying to make. You don't say that a person who's not angry, you don't say a person who doesn't get angry has escaped the Dea of Kas. No. He's saying, unless the person is really like a Navi, and he's able to just purely see to do what exactly is he's purely his whole existence and essence is chachma, and that's all he really has. Then any other person who doesn't have any capacity to care or feel or react to anybody else is a person that you would say is simply deficient in psychic energy. You understand? He has a deficiency in the normal capacity. It's not a perfection; it's a deficiency. You understand? That's what Ram is saying. You got to be careful by the way things look. A person could look; two people could be doing the same thing, and one be doing it because his das is really in the lead, and it's a perfection. And the other one is just lacks the capacity to move. Right? And when he's I think when he's discussing the deos, he's discussing within the realm of the not. He's not talking about a person like a Moshe Rabbeinu. Actually, he doesn't mention Moshe Rabbeinu, but he's not talking about. He's talking about that. The problem is, man can never just say, "I'm going to divorce my emotional side and just be a Seichel Nifrad." You're always existing within. There always is that the element of the Deos, and if you try to just beat them down, you're just going to be removing. You're just going to turn yourself into someone who doesn't have the capacity. In other words, if you try to just beat down these deos without recognition that the middle is good, if a person just tries to beat down his kas without the recognition that kas, that there is a middle ground that has a certain, that is right, then he would just be trying to numb himself. Like a behavioral modification. He would just be numbing himself to the point that he doesn't react. As in, saying that's not proper, that's not good. That's just like cutting off. That's just like destroying yourself. It's just like destroying a faculty, right? It's like a lobotomy. It's like giving yourself a lobotomy. That's not good, because you totally remove the energies, right? You have to be able to do what's right. You have to be able to do what's. You have to recognize that that there is a middle, and the middle means, though, not a slave to the emotion, and not incapacitated in terms of the emotion. That's the true middle. But I don't think we answered the questions, but I'm sure this helps answer the questions. But
Rabbi?
Yeah.
I don't know if this is part of the not answering the questions, but the halacha in Parak Aleph of Kas, which is lo yichas el al davar gadol,
right. So that makes sense. That's the mimutzas. Yeah, go ahead.
No, well, I was going to ask, because you're saying that it's really just there's just really a potential. I mean, the energy should be there, but you should never really use it.
No, I see. I think when he's talking about the way that a man, a person with his deos, there's a certain perfection, there's a certain perfection in terms of the bria of Adam, given that Adam is das, is a seichel with these deos. And that is, that he has the oomph from the thing, but it's not a controlling entity. So that means to say that when his mind realizes that there is something gadol, when he knows there's something gadol that happened, right, and there is an action that is available, then he can summon his energy of kas to motivate him. That's the in terms of a person with the knowledge and the emotions, that's the perfection of the Adam. It doesn't mean that there's no. It doesn't mean that is the perfection, qua perfection, but it means for Adam, given Adam with the combination of das and emotions, living and acting as that combination, if you're going to be living and acting as that combination, you can't have an excess of one, and you can't deprive any of them. To live in the balanced way, where the das is setting the realities, and the deos, the das is like digging the channels, and the deos are pouring through them. That's mimutzas. Now, could a person, now what if a person was able to rise above and not have to have any of these deos at all and just be able to act perfectly without them? Of course, that would be wonderful. But that would not be Adam. That would not be the perfection that we're talking about. That would be like a person can change, could escape the bounds of man, so to speak. But that's what I think he means by the Velacha Bedrachov. Was how would a man, as man, live in line with the true ideals of with the true ideals? It would have to be in the Mumutas. But I think Chaim is right that when he's talking in the Mora, he's talking about a leader. It's a slightly different analysis. That's a slightly different analysis. But I think also, yeah, go ahead.
It's even a leader though, it's still a human being, so it still will be in the middle. Like the says, like the Navi himself, you know, has to have most of his deos.
Right.
So
right.
Even a leader still has to have the channels. It's just that for the cause specific things, the Gnome says, things, whatever, that's the cause questions.
Right. Like but even. Advantage. Right. Well, that we wanted to say over there, though, also, that he's talking about, like, the system of justice implemented by the leader, because he also mentions mercy. He also says, no, he says he shouldn't either. He says, at times and towards some persons, he must be merciful and gracious. Not, well, here we gotta get check. Not only from motives of mercy and compassion, but according to their merits. At other times and towards other persons, he must evince anger, revenge, and wrath in proportion to their guilt, but not from motives. He doesn't say not only, but we gotta be careful with it. But that's what we want to put. But the point is, in terms of why it describes God as jealous and all those other things, see that really I think he explains in the more the better, the best. And that is that. It's not to say, because our question was, how would you ascribe to something that's not a perfection? Right? But I think he explains it over there. He tries to explain it over there, because he wants to say that those are descriptions, we're trying to describe a certain type of behavior that for man, that is proper. And it's via description. So, otherwise you could just have all the Yigimul Milos just be one. Say, do justice. Right? But the point is, he's trying to make over there, is that it's not always clear what the proper degree of the Onesh is justice. It's not always clear how many things you have to take into account to decide on the severity of the punishment. So he says that whole system is describing from appearances. That was the derech of the midos, to describe not from the inner concept, but it's easier to give a description from appearance. So he says, if I would say that somebody is angry, right, that would mean to say, to wipe out a whole nation in one swoop is a description of anger, right? But it's used because it wants to show you that when the issue is severe, and Ram holds it has to do with the Avodah Zarah usually, you have to be excessive. You have to do what would appear to us to be excessive, because he says of the danger to other people. So, what is just? There's a whole range of possibilities of what could be just. It could be just to the person. It could be to the person and his accomplices. But in order to describe and convey that in this case what's demanded is a wholesale, complete destruction, it uses a description of the appearance. Because otherwise it would require a whole limud of the thing per se. It's easier to describe from appearance and use a borrowed expression of what we call an angry action than to go into the underlying details. But that's maybe it's a separate point. But I think that's the idea over here.
Is it really the middle, though?
So that's what the Rambam is saying. You go ahead.
It seems that what you're saying is that there's certain...
Well, I'm saying the middle means free from either influence of the... free from the influence of either side. That's what I'm calling the middle. The middle means available, but free from either influence. You're not drawn to it, right? But you're not hampering it. It's not a character trait, but it's also not a deficiency. That's a good question. Yeah.
Why would you call Eos? Like, how is that an appropriate term for these?
Deos means what? Opinions? Deos harbe.
It doesn't mean opinions. It means something. It means these traits.
It means traits.
But how does the word the show it does?
It's a good question. Good question.
It's Hilchos Deos. The system is the what does the Torah say? What does the system say about Deos?
Right, so Hilchos Deos or Deos? It's a good question.
It's one of those funny things, like,
yeah.
Like Mida is the measure of how much we can have. So it's like a description
right.
Term.
Right. I know. So,
are you saying that when you have no particular ties to either way, that means Das can now dictate which way to go in each situation?
Yeah. All right. Let's think about it.